Settle in, kids. It's going to be a fun ride. So here we are, supplemental episode, and we are building this out of skill 8, which is to attune, to bring people to you, the vision, to invite them in. You've figured out where they are, and then you're asking them to come to you with the vision. So, or you're catering your approach, you're going to them in a way. And this supplemental episode is based on the action that I talked about, developing your speaking ability or your storytelling ability. Now, to do that, to dedicate a supplemental episode to this, to help you do that, I want to walk you through two approaches that you can use to construct a talk or a story, and then I'm going to teach you at a high level how you can prepare and deliver at your best, okay? So first, what I want to do is give you a template, two templates, actually, to use to put something together quick and effective. The first template is going to be what I use a majority of the time. I'll also talk about one I use a little bit of the time. But the one that I use the majority of the time, it just has four pieces to it. So this is a template that you can use and for putting together a talk, a pitch, or whatever. The first piece is I look for common ground. I want the person that's hearing me talk to feel like I get them and understand them and know them. So the way that I'm going to do that, I'm going to build that common ground by talking about an external problem they struggle with. And then I will tell a story, oftentimes, about how I too know that external problem. Then I'm going to, while I'm in this common ground, switch to describing the internal problem. Because, you know, it's one thing to have the external problem of, you know, why aren't my meetings effective? It's another thing to understand the internal problem. You're afraid to hold people accountable. Or you get insecure and rant and rail and just look for people to give you some kind of affirmation they're with you, but never nailing it down into concrete action. I mean, there's passive and aggressive forms of this example. So external problem to internal problem. That's building common ground. So watch for people that are doing this. Have that antenna up. Look for people that are effective, the people that you enjoy listening to as speakers and communicators and storytellers. My favorite comedians, they just take the simplest of moments and are absolutely hilarious with the external problem and the way they build common ground. And then they'll throw in little quips to let you know they understand what's really going on with the internal problem with that situation. What comes to mind is a bit that Louis C.K. has on Monopoly. And he's building common ground with you because we all know what it's like to play for a day and then you lose it all in a few moves. And he has this joke where he's saying to his daughter, "Hey, honey, you've spent all day, you know, getting all this money and property, and now that's all mine, and I'm going to use it to destroy your sister." And he's doing something that a lot of people would not realize. He's not punching on the nose to tie it into the skill. He's flirting it through telling the story, but he's making some points about assets and resources and allocation and, hey, it's all mine. And he's preaching some stuff there without connecting the dots in a direct way. So building common ground is an absolute blast. Sometimes you can build common ground by saying, hey, you probably don't struggle with this, but, and then you're talking about your struggle. And the reality is people in the room do. You're just not judging them or assuming they do. So number one, common ground. Number two, after you've built common ground on the external internal problem, now you're going to deconstruct the faulty approach. You know, now most people handle this problem this way, or this is the approach that's very popular, or this is what I see, or this is what I tried for a long time that wasn't working. So what you're doing now is you're tearing down, you're deconstructing. Now you're ready for the third section, which is offering your unique viewpoint, your truth. So I'm going to build common ground. We're going to tear down the conventional approach that doesn't work because, you know, common wisdom, conventional wisdom is always wrong. Now we're going to bring the truth. That's this third one. And then the fourth one, I'm going to help you apply it. I'm going to help you live it out. I'm going to break it down for you. And you could, once you learn this template, build a 3-minute, 30-minute, 3-hour talk, if you have the content, at least in structure, immediately. So this is what I use, and it helps me meet people where they are, engage the room well, put together the talk, and really stay at my best. It's like creativity happens best within rails. So these are the rails that I use. Now, I said that I would tell you two templates. A second template I use, and I've recently started using this. You know, I try to read a lot of books on speaking and communication. I have the master's program I did, I wrote a thesis, and a lot of it was about communication. And so there's just been a ton of stuff that I've paid attention to, a lot of templates. The second best template that I've seen is actually something Elon Musk uses. I think it's very effective. So I want to walk you through this template real quick because I think it's something that could help you put together a talk real quick. So the guy that kind of extrapolated the process that Elon Musk is doing, whether Elon knows it or not, his name is Andrew Raskin. I don't know him. He's in San Francisco. He helps with strategic storytelling for companies. And so I have just seen a lot with communication, and I just think this is fantastic. So what he did was, in a Medium article, broke down Elon's approach when he released a vision, a new company that he was starting with the company they do with batteries, and he broke it down into 5 pieces. And I think this is really great if you are doing any kind of pitch. It's a little bit similar to some other things I've seen on having a quick template for a pitch deck, but this is the better one from my viewpoint, and it can be used for everything. I mean, you need your family to make a change, right? Use this. Number one, name the enemy. Name the enemy. So, and if you're talking publicly and if you have a picture of it, that's great. So when Elon Musk released the news about what they were doing for batteries and solar energy, he named the enemy, and he painted a just emotionally vivid picture of what fossil fuels do. Number two, why now? So this is the second template. First thing, name the enemy. Two, why now? What is it about this moment that matters so much? If we don't understand that, we're going to miss capturing people's emotions. Number three, show the promised land before explaining how you'll get there. Show what could be. Show what could be. Now, I'm going to give you more on this idea in a second, but for now, let me just run through this template. Number four, identify the obstacles and explain how you'll overcome them. So we're going to face this problem. We're going to face this problem. We're going to face this problem. Number five, present evidence that you're not blowing hot air. And I'm reading those words directly from, again, Andrew's article on Medium, where he's breaking down Elon Musk's approach. So try that approach also. Name the enemy. Why now? Show the promised land before explaining how you'll get there. Identify the obstacles and what you'll do to counteract them. And then show you're not blowing hot air. Give some evidence. Powerful. I've got a big pitch that I'm going to make. I'm going to go for something. And I think it could be a really powerful win-win coming up here in a little bit. And not on the podcast. This is with some people I work with. And I'm going to use this template, because I think it's just what that situation needs. So most of the time for me, common ground, deconstruct, truth, apply, that's what I'm using, but I also use this one as needed. And when you can have a template, it takes this idea of, I got to put together this 3-minute talk, this 30-second, you know, piece, or this 30-minute story in out of this nebulous, oh my gosh, I'm shutting down, into this, okay, let me just put information in this structure and outline. And when you're toasting someone, when you are giving the best man speech at a wedding, when you can have a template, I wouldn't use the Elon Musk vision template in that space. I would use just the ability to tell a story and meet people where they are. You are going to increase your credibility consistently. People look at somebody who can stand up and speak and share something, and they automatically give them authority and credibility. Wrong or right, it just is what it is. Now, you're listening to this podcast, you're working on being a secure leader, relax in who you are, you're safe, you want to empower people. So I'm happy for you to get these tools and become very influential, as effective as possible. Now, I've given you these two templates. What I want to do now is walk you through when you're presenting a talk and when you're getting that place, when you're preparing and when you deliver it. I use some guiding points to get me into my best place, okay? I use three things to prepare that help me emotionalize what I'm going to share and be at my best. And so I want to give you three keys to prepare real quick, and then I'm going to give you three keys to deliver. Three keys to prepare well after you've got your template. Number one, what's at stake? What's at stake? You've got to boil it down to the one thing. Like, your audience, they're the hero. And you're there to help unblock or unlock who they are. And what's at stake if they stay the same? Nancy Duarte has a great book on speaking called Resonate, and she says it this way: a big idea is your viewpoint expressing what's at stake as a complete sentence. So you want to use you in that statement to the audience. You want to say to them, you know, if you stay the same with this, then blank will happen. You know, the approach that you're deconstructing. If you keep doing it that way, this is what's going to happen. Now we're ready to hear your truth. Second, not only what's at stake, but plan the pace. You want to anticipate objections and resistance, like we were talking about with the structure that Elon Musk uses. You want to imagine people sitting there going, yeah, but you don't know what it's like for me. Well, you don't want to be combative. You want to show empathy. But as you are painting the picture, you keep switching back and forth from the promised land to now. It could be like this, but it's like this. It could be like this, but it's like this. This adds a roller coaster feel to your talk. And when you're doing a 3-minute talk or a 30-minute talk, it's got emotional variance in it, that people are in it with you. So I use that. I try to think through the pace. Am I switching back and forth here? I don't write everything out sentence by sentence. I use the structure. I used to type it out sentence by sentence. I've been speaking publicly for like 17 years. The first decade, I typed it, I think, sentence for sentence for the most time. Probably the next 5 years after that, I used just like big collecting ideas with lots of thoughts underneath them. Now, the last probably 5 or 6 years, I like to do it without notes. And I think that gets me out of my way, and we'll get into that in a second. Third, in preparing, you want to start with tension. And that's why I talked about like building common ground with the problem. Like, get them in it with you. Robert McKee, who wrote a book on story, which is great for constructing a talk and thinking through putting together a presentation. He's like a very influential person in helping train screenwriters. He talks about this idea that characters change under pressure. And so we want them to be pulled into a tension with us that they feel, because that pressure is whatever you're talking about. It shaped you, and you want them to be shaped by it. So bring them into the tension so that they feel it with you. And then don't resolve the tension unless you have to. You may open up with a story that takes you into the point that you're actually sharing your unique viewpoint in the truth piece, and then you resolve the tension of that story. You might introduce tension with a story at the very beginning and then refer back to it at the end. There's a story that I tell when, I was in a place and couldn't buy a box of Cheerios. You guys have heard it if you've been listening to the podcast. I mean, all the site shift came out of that. But when I'm talking about this publicly, then at the very end, I will come back and be like, and it felt so great when, you know, and I'll talk about the resolution of things, because I'm resolving that tension. Another key idea here is that speakers mess up a lot on in storytelling. And Robert McKee talks about this in the storybook. Don't flash back until they want to know. you know, if a movie starts with a flashback, it's like, wait, I don't care about this story. I don't care about the flashback. Get me invested in the character, then give me the flashback. And I see a lot of people do this when they're telling a story. They just tell details people don't care about. People start zoning out. It's because they're giving more context than they're inspired to hear. Same thing with giving past stuff. So those are huge. Now, delivery. All right. This is the stuff where you're putting yourself out there. You're going to speak up in the meeting. You're going to have the mic for 3 minutes, or you're going to do the talk. I mean, the more you do it, the more you do it, the more you do it, the better you get if you're paying attention. So let me give you some ways to pay attention to your delivery. The first thing that I look for in my delivery is self-aware humor. Humor makes everything so much more interesting, and it's so fun when the audience is laughing and you know you're connecting with them and they're cracking up. And let me teach you the best thing that you can do for your humor. It's being self-aware at the parts of you that are interesting and weird and funny and insightful, and just know who you are and know how to amplify those parts when you're speaking, because you kind of make a persona bigger, right? You need to turn it up. But also I want you to notice this. The audience will guide you. The number of times that I've been speaking when I'm like, this is going to kill, nothing. And then I make an offhanded comment and people are cracking up. After years of doing that, I've learned to pay attention and anticipate. The audience will let me know where I'm funny. And so if you're in a medium like what I'm doing right now, this podcast, it's definitely harder to show up and give yourself to this medium when you're not getting that interaction. Some people may think it's easier for them. For me, it's more difficult. But the idea is the audience will guide you. Look for that feedback. This is why you need to be doing it live. If you're doing it digital, you've got to find ways to do it live. And I think about like that persona that I was talking about, this self-aware humor and blowing the persona up really big. One of the things that I do, if you're in the leadership coaching, I've talked with you about how to figure out your persona. What are the combining parts of who you are? You know, there's a wild part, there's a rebellious part, there's a serious part, there's a fun part. Know the parts of who you are, know the percentages of those, and try to bring all of those into what you do as a speaker and allow yourself to be dynamic and kind of hand it off to those different parts. Because I've done this with you in the leadership coaching, you can draw back on that. I don't think I've ever shared mine, but this is the way I think about mine. So one night I'm watching Parenthood and Adam Braverman, the like main son character, is in the car and he's listening to Ray LaMontagne, a musical artist, and he's talking to his wife and he was like, Ray LaMontagne is awesome, or listen to this song or something. And I've totally done that with my wife. It's crazy how they nailed that character. So I feel like I'm like part Adam Braverman, like gonna do the right thing for his family. And I'm inspired by his character, right? My family, we've been watching Parks and Rec, and we crack up at Chris Traeger, the Rob Lowe character, because I'm just like him. It's the glorious, luxurious hair and wildly fascinating good looks. No, it's because he's so committed to make everything the best it can be. He's like, hey, can you stay in the room real quick while I take this vitamin? It's huge and I could choke and die. And I like, I've choked on those things, how he wants to do pull-ups in between moments just to make the moments count, run 9 miles every day. It just all these things. Like I'm part very want to be the best, optimizing, do the best, whatever. Then I also have this part of me that's like very goofy, and I have this part of me that's super skeptic. And so I try to hand off to the different parts of who I am throughout that. So as you learn who you are, you're going to be better. You don't want to be one-dimensional because that's not interesting and that's not who a human being is. I think it's also important to talk about when you're under this category of self-aware humor in your delivery. Jim Gaffigan, a comedian, says, you don't want to kill it for every audience. And I love that statement because to the degree that you're rocking somebody's world is to the degree that you're probably angering somebody else. And, you know, don't fall into this trap of, I need to be awesome for everybody, because that's not going to happen. And at some point, you're going to be so muted and not living out of who you are in an authentic way, it's not going to resonate. Hopefully the motive is not just to resonate. The motive is to live who you are and to bring who you are into what you say, but that may provide you just with a little bit more inspiration for it. When I think about self-aware humor, I also think about this idea. You know, there are times when the environment's just electric, and if you really develop your skill and grow and you're present and you're vulnerable, and you have a blast. The atmosphere, the energy is palpable. And I can come off of the stage in those moments and people will be like, Chris, you killed it. And I just want to, that's encouraging when that happens. But I want to help you think about the delivery, not as a performance, although it is, and self-aware is humor, or self-aware, period, not just humor is huge. And this is going to be different than a lot of the advice out there for speaking. It's not just about some performance where you need to kill it, where you pack in all the truth you can, or you have all the right phrases. The focus is just being present with that group of people and overflowing who you are. Like, I've listened to some speakers that can perform at a very high level, but it's canned. It's just phrase by phrase that's going to get a response. And it's not a human-to-human, self-aware connection. And I don't ever want to, in my speaking, become some kind of cartoony meme of myself. I don't want to play for that audience. I want to bring who I am. So self-aware humor, but also just self-aware on delivery is huge. Second key for delivery, speak for action. Look, speak for action or send me an email or a video or an audio. Like, call me into a new reality. Take me somewhere. And when you're speaking for action, it'd be really easy for you to not do something huge that good humans do. You're going to ask them to take action, but affirm what they have done and let them know that you know it won't be easy. Like, hey, you're here today. Great job. Like, you could be listening to this right now and going, oh, this is so much to remember for speaking. It's not. I get that it might feel overwhelming, but you're here and you're listening to this. That's awesome. That's growth. Take one of these things I'm talking about and immediately apply it today. You will see change. See what I just did there? I affirmed you, right? And then I could say, hey, it's going to be a struggle, and I know it will be. Hey, look, if you go apply one of these actions I'm talking about today with becoming better at speaking and storytelling, it's not going to be easy. It's going to feel awkward because it's the opposite of what you're doing. Or it's not going to feel natural to you. So see, I'm affirming that it'll be a struggle. I'm affirming what you've done, and I'm going to affirm that it's been a struggle. So when you're speaking for action, watch that. And if you're secure in who you are, a super combative, violent tone isn't going to come out, right? But just pay attention. And speaking for action also means that you have a natural cadence that you start to fall into. You speed up and you slow down. You may bring some volume with something you're passionate about, and then you get quiet. Not that you're necessarily yelling, but you're learning the content and what you're saying and who you're saying it to and how you modulate these things. If it stays monotone, it's boring. You want to increase that clarity, but also turn up the passion. People follow passion. And by passion, I do not mean emotional vomiting. Emotional vomiting is when you get up and have a breakdown and you feel better, but we all got to go clean up. That's for other environments. When you're speaking and calling them to action, you don't want to fall back on that. If I could say this too, just learn to forget your notes and doing a good job. Yes, prep. Use the identity space and the identity activity from chapter 6 and 7 to figure that shift out. Use the scenario switching from chapter 1, picture it going bad, picture it going good. All of that gets you divorced from the results, ready just to engage the process, which is how you're effective. Be there, right? And you may have secret crutches you use. I'll have sometimes, if I'm speaking for like an entire day, then I will have some notes somewhere near there that have at a high level view what I want to make sure that I hit. And if it's just a talk, I'm usually pretty ready to go, without notes. You'll find your own pacing and rhythm and timing with all this, but I want to challenge you that the more you can start out, and I wish I would have started out not using notes. If I could go back and do something over, I would do that over. The more you can start out not using notes, the more you can get into a flow state quicker. And I want to talk to you about flow state just real quick. And this is the last action that I try to make sure that I'm paying attention to in my delivery. It's time to play. It's time to play. I'm going to tell some stories. People are going to laugh. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to feel connected to a group. and I can't block what's in me. If I block what is in me, nobody else will bring this topic to life just like me. And the same is true for you. Nobody else is going to bring that topic to life just like you. If you can show up with an attitude, this is a time to play. Yes, it may be passionate and engaging, very intentional, but we're going to laugh. You know, not every time is going to be one of those times where it feels electric and alive, but this might be one of those times. And I like to just show up to life that way. This might be one of those days that I'm in a flow state of work. This might be one of those coaching sessions. This might be one of those speaking moments. This might be one of those times. So I want to show up and play. And if it is one of those times, people will never forget the moment. You know, adrenaline is necessary for long-term recall. And if adrenaline pumps through them at any point while you're talking, for good reasons, not for you being wild and crazy, they're going to remember it. They need to feel something. If it's workshop style, you're leading a workshop, you need to get them moving and interactive, or it's speaking from a big stage where you fill the room, not F, E fill, F I fill, fill the room with who you are. It's an amazing thing. And when you show up to play, when you're present in that moment, it frames how you engage it. We know it and we feel it. And it's such a better way to be. If it's so painful for you after practicing, it's painful at first. If it's so painful for you at speaking, and you may feel a sense of play at first, some people do, but if it's so painful for you for so long, maybe that's like not the thing you need to be doing. But I would say if you're in a leadership role, storytelling is a part of your job and it is a learnable skill. Hey, leaders aren't born, they're made. I believe that to the fiber, to the core of who I am. Same thing with storytelling. You can learn it. So hope this has helped give you just a supplemental episode here just on speaking and storytelling. I've given you a lot with the two templates and the three things that I use for delivery and the three things I use for preparing. Now I have two things to close with, two actions that I'm going to give you that are going to help you as you continue to develop your speaking. But before I close the episode with those two actions, I want to let you know about a resource, and it's a book that I've recommended to others. One of my friends, David Sherry, told me about it. He told me about this book called The One Sentence Persuasion Course, and the people that I've shared it with are really impacted by it. So I want you to check that out. It's just a short mini ebook. You can read it in like 20 minutes, and it's going to set you up for really thinking about this idea that we talked about in Skill 7, that there is no reality. It's only perception. And so this is how you meet people where they are. And what we want to do is use, you know, our ability to meet people where they are so that we can be the best at helping them come to where we are with the vision. Now, two quick actions for you that I want to make sure that you're doing. One, as you walk around and you live, capture stories, interesting things that happen to you, or just interesting things you notice. It doesn't have to be huge. I mean, comedians are great at this, just noticing the things that we skim over. Capture what you notice. Capture your stories. Capture your insights. You know, you may Siri it to yourself or text it to yourself or email it to yourself. Find some way to get it. And then get back to your computer at some point and capture them in a spreadsheet. So you're always going to have great material to draw from because it's your life. It's your story. It's what you're going through. Second action that I want to ask you to take to really develop yourself as a speaker, as a storyteller, I want you to practice getting into a conversational flow state. What happens is you've got this little thing in your brain that causes you to be afraid of people judging you. And so you filter and position. What I want to do is unhinge the communication, and that is something that you want to practice privately. So think about Obama's anger translator, if you saw the Key and Peele clips. You want to get into that state of unhindered communication, and so what you can do is get in the car and be going somewhere and turn up music that really gets you in a state of focused energy, passionate joy, whatever it is, and then practice riffing. Conversational riffing, practice telling stories, get frothy with your speaking, and you're going to modulate down and take people on an emotional roller coaster ride when it gets into the moment, but you want to start practicing doing that while you're driving. You know, I shared a podcast last year in 2016 about how I would go up to this shore, this lake, and practice speaking and telling a story because I was moved and I wanted to express and I wanted to share. So do that, okay? as you do that, I want you to think about how you're taking people on a ride. It's like a roller coaster. Now, some of you have talked with you about this because it's a skill that if you already have some natural speaking ability, you can really amplify. You're going to want to share info fast, and you're going to speak to people's hearts in a slower way, and then you're going to blow stories up really big, and then we get to go on this ride with you, right? The roller coaster's starting off, and it's pulling up that big hill, and you start to build the anticipation. Well, you can start practicing that as you do this conversational flow state. So those are the two actions for you. Listen, so glad you're here. And if you're listening in and you're not in the leadership coaching and you're wondering how to get in that, well, it's for people that go through the 12 weeks and then there's an entry point to the leadership coaching twice a year. And so if you haven't been through the 12 weeks, we'll have a new group coming up for that soon. So reach out, Chris at SightShift, or no, just go to SightShift.com, SightShift.com. Let me know your interest and we can go from there. For those of you that are in the coaching, look forward to developing this skill with you. Have a good one. Peace.